Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning in the aftermath of a 41-7 loss for the Tennessee Titans yesterday. They closed the season at 3-14. Cam Ward with a shoulder injury, and hopefully we'll find out kind of exactly what that looks like for him in terms of his rehab and timeline and all that a little bit later today. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Corey Curtis will be with us at 8 o'clock for his weekly visit as well. Joe, before the Titans took on Jacksonville this weekend, they made news by redefining, I guess, their current front office structure. Amy Adams Strunk put out a letter to Titans fans on Friday. And it's not that long, so I guess I can just read this whole thing for you, and I'll get your reaction to it, Joe. This is from Amy Adams Strunk. Titans fans, as we conclude our season this Sunday and approach the offseason, we remain more dedicated than ever to you, this team, Nashville, and the entire state as we build a strong foundation for the future. A few weeks ago, Chad and Mike approached me to discuss their evaluation of this past season. Over the past few years, several job descriptions in our football organization were established to address specific situations and challenges that have existed for a long time. After working together for the past year, they believe, and I agree, there is long-term benefit to clarifying and honing the focus areas of our football leadership. For that reason, we're returning to a front office that feels more straightforward to them and to me. Going forward, Mike will serve as general manager in the most traditional sense, pick and support the players, oversee the coaching staff, while Chad will continue to lead everything else about the football team. For example, Mike will manage the 53-man roster and lead the head coach search. Chad will continue to serve as president of football operations, leading strategic functions including salary cap management, analytics, research and development, and other football departments. Both will report to me, and their collective goal is to return the football team to the championship caliber you deserve. We are forever grateful for your loyalty and support. I genuinely believe the best is yet to come for the Tennessee Titans. And soon, tighten up, from Amy Adams Strunk. Joe, your thoughts.
I don't know, man. I don't know what to say about this crap.
Berserker!
That's right. And we will not stop saying berserker, by the way.
We would like to not any sucker berserker.
I screwed that up. Yeah,
it's hard to do that without cursing. Yep.
Yeah. For anybody who's seen the movie Clerks,
they pulled it off though, kind of.
It's just, if you're a sunshine blower, you're excited about this, okay? Because you have thought that Mike Borgonzi looked like maybe the best chance, and so now he has been promoted, okay? If you're a doom and gloomer, it's just more shuffling of the deck chairs, and it just feels to me a little bit like public sentiment is like, hey, Borgonzi seems pretty good. You know what? Yeah, he's the guy, and Chad, you're not the guy anymore. You know, Chip from Mount Juliet immediately texts Brinker 1 foot out the door. And that may be the case. I mean, the spin from them will absolutely not be that. If that's the case, we'll find out the day he's out the door, and then it'll be like, but until then, they'll be like, no. This is what we wanted. This makes perfect sense. But again, let's remember, Rand Carthon brings in Chad Brinker. Chad Brinker leapfrogs him, becomes the key guy. Now Brinker brings in Borgonzi. Now Borgonzi leapfrogs Chad Brinker. It's just hard for me to get excited about things like this. And maybe it's just because Amy never says anything, and the most you're ever going to get is a letter like this in social media. But it's just, until we see competence that translates to the football field, it's hard to get excited about it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know that I'm necessarily excited about it. I mean, I will say having the general manager be the general manager is probably a good thing. You know, we talked about that at the time of like, if you're going to hire Borgonzi to be the general manager, then let him manage the team, right? Like, he needs to be the one picking the players. He needs to be the one in charge of the head coaching search. He needs to be the one doing all this stuff.
Yeah.
So the fact that, I mean, particularly, I guess the thing that would make me the most happy on all that if I'm a Titans fan, because I think we already knew the 53-man roster he had control of because he talked about that a few weeks ago. But the fact that he is leading the head coaching search,
yeah,
to me, is the biggest deal out of all this. Because we talked about, like, what's that going to look like? Like, is it going to be Brinker? How much involvement is he going to have? Is it Borgonzi? And, I mean, what we don't know in the backdrop of all this is, you know, how involved Amy is going to be in the head coaching search. But the fact he is leading it, I think, is a good thing.
Well, the fact that he reports directly to her now.
Yes.
Also, that's a clear – he's an equal, at least,
yeah,
of Chad Brinker's. Pretty quickly.
Yeah, and look,
pretty,
you know,
short order.
And I've seen, you know, with the way things gone around here, it very well could be that Brinker could have one foot out the door. I have no idea. Like, I also think you could make the argument of, like, in terms of job preservation, this helps Brinker too, because now it's basically like, well, he's doing everything else that really has nothing to do with the actual football team. So I have no idea.
Yeah.
That part of it's
so then be. It goes bad, and so that could be. And so then it goes bad, and then Borgonzi gets axed. So then does Brinker come back into personnel style? Yeah, I don't know. The bottom line is, if Borgonzi is indeed good, then we're going to find out.
Yep.
You know, and I think that there are some promising signs. I mean, just the promising signs are they have done some good things. They've also made, I think, some mistakes. But I think listening to Borgonzi talk, and I think that you got a chance there. But we're going to find out. There's no doubt about it. I mean, at least there's clarity now. No one needs to ask, you know. I mean, there's still, like, you know, Brinker is still there. So I guess there's still always, like you just said, what's Amy's involvement? Well, what's Chad's involvement in the coach? Is he now just like, okay, good luck, Mike? The sprinkler system over here, we got some repair to do, and, you know, we got to work on the parking lot a little bit. I mean, I don't know. Is he just completely recusing himself from all this stuff? Does he have a lesser role?
Well, I guess what I go back to in terms of the confusing part about this is, you know, it wasn't that long ago that they adopted this, you know, harebrained structure that they had where it was like, well, Brinker, you know, Brinker's been brought in with Rand, but now Brinker's like over Rand, and then, but we don't really know what Rand does, but Rand's also the general manager, and it's like, oh, well, okay. That's where all this started, where the confusion started from, and nobody had any idea what was going on. So we've gone from that, Joe, into now she's released a statement that's like, well, we, you know, over the last few years, we got several job descriptions that had to address specific situations and challenges. And now we got to get this thing back to where it's just normal. And it's like, okay, well, what exactly was going on a couple years ago with Rand as GM that you had felt like you had to just go through all these hoops at that point?
Yeah. Well, and then, and also you've brought in all these other people too. And it just looks like an organization that doesn't know what the heck it wants to do or wants to be.
All right.
And it's just, again, it feels like, oh, now this person has helped this person, and now this person has helped this, or whatever, you know, babysitting this person, you know.
I mean, again, if you're the Titans, if you're a Titans fan, the two things that I feel best about after this statement was put out there would be, I guess, number one, Borgonzi in charge of the coaching search. And number two, like, you have returned now to what a traditional role for your general manager has been. And there's no more wondering, like, all right, when they draft so-and-so, whose call was that? Or when they hire this head coach, whose call was that? Like, at least knowing that if you're a Titans fan, I mean, you give credit to Borgonzi if it works out moving forward. And if it doesn't, I guess he's the one that's going to get the axe.
Yeah,
but
so
other than that, I mean, if you're a Titans fan, it's like, oh, that's all, that's great. Just go pick the right players.
Yeah. So, again, like to your point earlier, if they come out of the gates next year and they're bad and it just doesn't look like all whatever they do in the offseason, whatever they did, you know, and again, like even like Femi Oladejo continues to be just a non-factor, whatever it is, and they're bad, then – just like we're going to find out if Borgonzi's good, this is now, okay, yeah, it's your chance. And so how long does at least does he have? If it goes poorly next year?
With this organization, I have no idea. have no clue. Could not answer that question because the recent history would suggest not very long of a leash.
And so then, again, then you get to, okay, so Brinker, reactivate Brinker to hire the next coach, or the next GM. I mean, you have other former GMs in the building. You could just
– there's a lot of
one of them. Maybe Ziegler jumps up. I mean, I don't know.
There's a lot of them. Let's head back to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Tim to the program. Tim, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Morning, guys. The first thing I thought when I heard this restructure was, she's doing this to cover Brinker's butt. Because if this next coach that's hired is not a good coach, then Borghansi's going to pay for it. And that way she can keep Brinker around. I think Brinker and Amy have a love child somewhere. I don't know. It's just me. But they're doing this because they're not going to do anything to Brinker. I don't think this means Brinker's one foot out the door. I think they're meaning, you know, if it turns out and that Borghansi has a good hire and makes a good draft, then he just looks better. And if it's not, then he's going to be the scapegoat.
Thank you, Tim. Appreciate the call. I mean, again, I think on the Brinker front, you could read it either way. Like, you could read it as he's losing influence.
Yeah.
He's losing – I mean, he's clearly losing responsibility. Or you could view it as, well, now he's kind of just divorced of the personnel side of it. And if the players that the Titans pick are wrong, I mean, it's hard to blame him if Borghansi's the one doing the picking, right?
Yeah, like Brad on the YouTube chat mentioned, and I thought of this last week too, like he's trying to become Steve Underwood, it seems like. You know, they had that structure with Steve Underwood and sort of, you know, overseeing things, but he wasn't involved in the day-to-day football stuff. Right. Yeah, I could see that. I could see either way on this. I don't know. I mean, is it that important to like protect Brinker?
I wouldn't think so. But I mean, I don't know. Maybe, I mean, he may be really good at, you know, identifying the right security doors for the practice facility. I have no idea.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on in a big building like that you have to figure out. It's going to be interesting. I mean, I think the answer on that with him is, you know, down the road. Maybe not too far down the road. But again, it's like it is, you know, maybe they're both out if it goes poorly, you know. But Borghansi, not Borghansi.
Yes.
It's his chance right now to, you know, and maybe in his mind it hasn't changed too much, that he has said many times, like, I'm in charge of the roster. They've said that too. But the coaching search is a little different.
Yep.
And, of course, then you can get into, like, oh, so does this mean Nagy is the next coach?
Could be. 615-737-1025. Our phone number. A lot of your reaction on the statement released by Amy Adams Strunk on the Titans front office. We will continue to take your thoughts on that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Amy Adams Strunk updating the front office structure for the Tennessee Titans. And basically at the end of it, Borghansi, final say on the 53-man roster. He is leading the head coaching search. And as you pointed out, Joe, no, both of them now reporting directly to Amy Adams Strunk on the Borghansi and Brinker front. So hopefully, Joe, this will be the last time we have to talk about like front office structure for a long time with the Tennessee Titans. I think we've had our fair share of that over the last few years.
Yeah, long time. What is a long time?
Well, in this organization, a long time could be 2 years. I would sign up for that right now. I would not talk about it again for 2 years.
I would definitely sign up for that. Ed says, was this Borghansi's idea or was it both their ideas? Good question.
That's a good question.
Better idea.
Yes. Yeah, Vingan's over here trying to say this is now officially the Gonzi scheme. That's a Vingan. Vingan, you keep your puns on your show. Berserker still works. I mean, Brinker's still part of the thing, okay? He's still here. Now, when he gets fired, then we can talk about it. Burke Nihil's still here, and Borghansi's still here. Berserker is absolutely not RIP. Don't you take your Gonzi scheme and keep it on your show.
I did see
that. That's
the,
not bad, though. I kind of like Gonzi's scheme.
Teron Davenport, you know, he puts these videos out at the road game and home games, too, when
like people walking in the building. So like, you know, there's Cantlers, there's all these people. So, you know, yesterday it's like, well, there's Chad Brinker and there's Reggie McKenzie and there's Dave Ziegler. And it's like, good Lord, does the front office have to have their own bus to get over here? It's like, how many people are in this thing? It's just so many people making decisions.
Where was Borgonzi? Was he not?
I don't know. I'm sure he got there somewhere.
So he was.
I didn't see video of Borgonzi. I don't know if he got it or not.
Well, I wonder if that means something. Did he? Yeah, he had his little floaty on.
You guys, I'm going to be at the pool. I'll be watching the game from the pool.
Nah, you better not lose this football game as I sit in the pool. Or maybe he had his own special, you know, limo to the game. Could because be. He's now the big shot in town. I don't know.
I think there were people in the pool.
Oh, there were.
No, sure. There's always people in the pool. No, I mean, most games there that I've been there, there's people in the pool.
Playoff, I mean, but the combination of Jags fans who are, I mean, the crowd yesterday, they're fired up about the Jags out there. The combination of Jags fans, the Milky Pool, and the Buffalo Bills coming into town with Bills Mafia could be very special.
That's a good point. Bills Mafia and that Milky Pool. Is there any way to like
breaking tables
crash through a table in the pool? Yeah. If there is a way, they'll find it.
Oh, boy.
Extra security, guys.
Could be very interesting to see that part of it. Yeah, I mean, again, I read that, and I was like, I don't know how much Titans fans actually care about the redefining of the power structure here. At the end of the day, it's going to come down to Borgonzi and does he go make the right decisions? And that part of it is interesting, like, because, you know, people talk about Borgonzi's draft all the time, right? And it's like, well, first draft was good. It's like, maybe. We'll see. Like, you know, the Cam Ward, if he doesn't work out as quarterback and Femi Oladejo doesn't work out as your second-round pick, I don't know how good your draft is at that point. But there are certainly encouraging signs from his first draft. But now, I mean, the ball's in his court, right? Like, this is his show now. And between the draft that's coming up, the head coaching search that he's leading, and then ultimately the money you're going to have this offseason to spend to tinker with your roster and turn this thing over. And you're not going to fix everything in one offseason, but with the money that they've got available to them, they should be able to add a lot of players to this roster. So, you know, look, Kuharsky has said this. I largely agree that Borgonzi feels like the most capable/competent person over there, right? But I don't know that. Like, you know, we're still really early into his tenure here. So, look, I'm glad that now all the potential confusion is just out of the way and we know whose show it is. But now we're going to find out how good of a general manager he is.
Well, should he last year, and again, last year there was a lot more they.
Yeah, exactly.
But should he, they, whatever, last year have gone hard after Sam Darnold and traded down? What would things look like right now?
Look, I mean, it's hard to argue. I know we're going to find out more in the playoffs, but, I mean, Sam Darnold, the last couple years – pretty darn good, man.
He's good. Yeah. He's a good quarterback.
He's a good player. So, look, I mean, I understand, you know, revisiting that. It's a hypothetical world. Would Sam Darnold have any interest in coming here? I have no idea.
Or even just, or like, you know, you could take him out of it and just talk about the trade down.
The trade down, yeah. I mean, I think we know our answer. I would have probably traded down, right? But now they've done and now you've got another top five pick. So what do you do with it, right? You know, you've got a top five pick. You're going to be able to get a good player there. And, you know, as good as it is to see them hit or seemingly hit on the fourth rounders, which I feel like every time we start talking about his draft is where this goes back to. It's like, oh, he found some good players in the fourth round. That's good. What's going to define Borgonzi's tenure here is, well, how about the first rounders? How about the second rounders? Are you hitting on those? Because if you're not, as we've seen, it's such a detriment to your roster when you don't hit on those semi-consistently. You don't have to hit all of them. But pretty consistently, you need to be hitting on your first and second round picks. And that's what I'm interested to see here. Like, Ward, obviously, going to be important moving forward here, and that's basically what it all comes down to, that and the head coach that they're about to hire. But whoever they select at number four this year too, right? Like, that needs to be a franchise-type player for you.
Immediate, high impact, no question about it. Yeah, and Oladejo matters. You add everything up, and it's like, I mean, I think they're going to address edge, but, like, you need that and Oladejo to work out. For sure, this next draft pick that they're going to make, like, there can't be any – like a month into the season, it has to be clear that this is a person who changes things for them, whether it's, you know, whatever, whether it's a – you know, an Arvell Reese or something like that, or, you know, is there a receiver? I will say, you know, and I don't want to get too much in the draft thing, but you watch Ohio State, like the last game you watch Ohio State, and it's like Jeremiah Smith is so clearly like the best player in the field, and Tate is good.
Yeah.
But it's like,
is he going to be worth number four pick?
Yeah. He's good. But I don't know that he's that level. So that's an interesting spot that they're in. But you have an opportunity to draft. There is going to be somebody available that has to be a huge difference maker for your franchise.
Well, and look, I don't blame Titans fans for this, because I think there is a natural longing for this. Like, when it's been as bad as it's been around here, from a record standpoint, from all the turnover, like, you, I think you look around at the bright and shiny new toy, and the first sign of competence, you just run with it, right? And frankly, like, I think that's kind of what Amy Adams Strunk has done a little bit throughout this process too, which is why, you know, one off season, it's like, well, Vrabel, I'm all in on Vrabel, and then that changes, and then I'm all in on Rand, and then that changes, and then, well, we got Callahan, like, it just changed. I think the new thing, it's been so much of the new thing around here, until it's not a year later and you're going with the next thing. So, like, Borgonzi, I think a lot of Titans fans saw DK, what he did. You know, I thought Io Manor was okay. I mean, decent for a fourth-round pick this year. Helm had his moments where he looked good for a fourth-round pick. Ward had his moments this year. And you see that, and it's like, okay, that's like a little bit of competence that we're seeing here. And you run away with it when it's just like, well, Borgonzi's definitely the guy. Well, we'll find out, right? Like, we're gonna,
it's all relative.
It's all relative. Yes. And I like Borgonzi. I thought the press conference he did after the deadline, where it was just him by himself, did a lot of good for him in terms of his public perception. I think Titans fans responded really well to that. But, like, honestly, I've heard Brian Callahan say a lot of things that I thought were pretty smart and agreed 100%, 100%. With, and thought he was an effective communicator, and he's a terrible head football coach. So I'm not saying Borgonzi's a terrible GM. I'm just saying the jury, to me, on Borgonzi still very much is out on this thing.
I mean, everybody's desperate for competence in the Titans fan base, which I understand. And, yes, I agree. Like, he seems like a smart guy. There's some indications of, you know, good value in that first draft, without question. The QB is going to define it, but you know, you've got to be smarter than your, you know, than your counterparts. You know, in some of these cases, I mean, you got to pull some things off where you are outmaneuvering people, and again, you got to have, like, really, really good drafts. You got to have one really, really good offseason, both drafts and free agency, to move the needle with this team, with this still very bad football team. That's asking a lot. And so what we've seen so far certainly does not guarantee he'll be able to pull that off.
By the way, we've talked a lot about, like, organizational structure over the last 30 minutes, and there's all this buzz right now about Atlanta and what they're doing. I read this latest tweet from Pelissero, talking about the Falcons' new setup here. It says the Falcons are now employing separate search firms to identify their next head coach and general manager, who will report to the president of football, who will have final authority over all football decisions. By the way, the president of football that he's talking about there, many people think is about to be Matt Ryan, who looks like he is going to take a job with Atlanta.
So Schefter just put it out. Is McKay still there, or is McKay out?
I think he got a different role.
I can't keep up with them. Okay, so there's separate search firms.
Separate search firms.
And everybody's going to be under Matt Ryan.
Everybody looks like it's going to be under Matt Ryan. Schefter just put out the Falcons are hiring a new president of football, which many expect to be Matt Ryan.
Arthur Blank, man.
There's another complicated organizational structure for you, too. So it ain't just the Titans.
Good luck, Falcons. Yeah, keep firing coaches. I wonder if there's anything else going on there.
615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. A lot more of your thoughts to get to on the Titans in the front office. More coming up next. We have the rant later this hour. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up at 745. Corey Curtis will be with us at 8 o'clock. We will get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. You know, Borgonzi and his path moving forward here, we talked about the money. They're going to have a ton of money. I mean, I was looking at over the cap yesterday. I think the projected number was like $105 million, which is the most in the National Football League. So, you know, then you can get into the nitty-gritty of, all right, well, we know they're going to have, you know, three starting caliber cornerbacks they're going to need to find from, whether that's in the draft or free agency or a combination of the two. There's edge rusher, there's wide receiver. I mean, you can go up and down the list here. You know, how effectively do you address it in one offseason? Because, you know, as we said earlier, you know, 3-14 back-to-back years, Joe. And it does feel like, you know, every year now there's a team that's going from bottom of the league, if not to like first in their division, at least into like the playoffs, right? I mean, the Patriots just did it. The Texans did it in this division a few years ago. Washington did it last season. Like it's happening on a yearly basis now where teams are going from pretty bad to immediately being competitive. And some of that's been just, you know, as simple as really, really good quarterback play, right? Like, you know, C.J. Stroud came in as a rookie, played really well. Now, they also upgraded their roster, I think, more significantly than we thought heading into that year. Washington signed a ton of guys to, like, one-year deals, and it ended up working out pretty well for them. The Patriots spent the most money in the league last offseason to add to their roster, in addition to Drake May going from a promising rookie to a legitimate MVP candidate, so that helps, and you hired Mike Vrabel as your coach. So we've got very recent examples of teams going from very bad to competitive very quickly. Is Mike Borgonzi, can he pull that off in one offseason? That's going to be interesting to see. Like, I'd love to do a side-by-side comparison of the Titans, where their roster is now, going to look for another head coach. How does that stack up with what New England was dealing with last year? Washington the year before, how comparable are those situations?
Yeah, certainly it's about, you know, I do feel like you look around the playoffs and, you know, your team, of course, is in. They may have troubles because they lost their guy like this, but I do feel like you look around the playoffs and you're largely going to find big-time pass rushers on most of these teams. And I do feel like that's something that, like, you just – difference makers on defense, and obviously that's a big part of the Texans story. Then there's also in all these stories, I know Washington, a lot of it was Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
He was so good as a rookie. Everybody's going to forget that. Like, this year he's banged up and sophomore slump, whatever. Like, just, you know, wait till next year if they figure some things out. Like, Jaden Daniels, to me, is still going to be a really good quarterback in this league. So it was him, but it was also like they had a lot of short-term deals that worked out and just some really good signings. Sometimes it's also people, you know, improving. Like, you know, what if Cedric Gray takes another step and he's like a big-time player?
Yeah.
You know, no one – people – that's another thing. Like, a lot of these teams have – I mean, look at the Niners. You know, if you put Bosa and Warner on their team right now, I'd probably pick them to win it all because of everything else they have. And look how different they are without them defensively. But Gray, does Winston in his second year – all of a sudden become a rangy difference maker at safety? I mean, there are some things on the roster that are big, not just what Borgonzi's doing, you know? Is Simmons going to follow up? Is Sweat going to drop 40, which is probably about what he needs to do? Latham, so you have that, and then you have, of course, Yeah. Again, both aspects of the personnel ads have got to be fantastic. And then Cam Ward just has to be, you know, you have to have the best possible outcomes there. But, you know, it's wild how some of these things, I mean, even the Colts. But some of these teams, I feel like, still had some pretty good things in place. And maybe there were injuries on the Colts offensive line 1 year and you're wondering about it, but then they come back healthy. They had done a better job over time of building a team. I don't think that's the case with the Titans. I still don't think – I just mentioned some, you know, potential, like, good players for them next year. But I do think they're lighter on those than some of these teams that we've talked about that have had these turnarounds. Maybe Washington would be a good example in terms of they really made some good kind of plan B signings that turned into a bunch of players who played well. But that's also, I think, coaching. And I think Dan Quinn deserves credit for that. And, of course, the Titans coaching hire is obviously a big part of this.
Well, and then how much of a difference does the head coach make in the wins, losses, in addition to what you're going to have to do with the roster, right? Like, if you go hire a good head coach, how much of an accelerator is that to the roster? That, again, there's a lot of money available. They've got a top five draft pick coming up. I still think it's going to be very difficult, borderline impossible, in one offseason for the Titans to fix the amount of holes that they've got, right? Like, it's another offseason where you're looking at the roster, and there have been way too many of these lately, which we've talked about with Kuharski. It's another offseason where it's like you start to go down the list, and you're already getting to the point where you're identifying so many needs and just not enough time to fix that in one offseason. Not enough picks. Not enough elite level players, or at least high level players, that are getting to free agency. So you're not going to be able to fix all of your holes in one offseason. But by making the right hire at head coach, how much can you overcome some of that? Like, how much of Washington's success, yes, was Jaden Daniels, yes, was the deals they made with their roster and a lot of 1 year guys coming in. How much of it was Dan Quinn and his second stop as a head coach being a better head coach? How much of what we're seeing from the Patriots right now is just strictly Vrabel?
Yeah.
Right? Like, those are questions I don't know the answer to.
Yeah, no, for sure. I don't think there's any question, which is why I think Vrabel, and there's some really good candidates for Coach of the Year. You know, I mean, Mike McDonald, it's hard to argue with him. Yeah. Right? But I don't think there's any question that Vrabel brought in now they had some good players on defense and some decent players. They made a big draft pick, you know, to bolster their offensive line. They have a tremendous talent quarterback who takes a big step. Obviously, that's a big part of what you hope with the Titans, right? Is that Cam Ward takes a step from year one to year two, anywhere close to what Drake May did. All of a sudden, that and a good coach, you can have something. I mean, on the YouTube chat, Adub Wright's sitting there saying, he's like, Titans would have to sign or draft 10 new stars on defense to see any improvement. That's not true. Also says they probably need another 6 to 7 new starters on offense. That's also not true. That's not true. Look, their defense, they need a really good corner, like a number one corner and a pretty good one, okay? They need Winston to work out. They need Sweat to have a huge offseason. They need Oladejo. I mean, he's a second-round pick. It doesn't look great right now, but are you giving up on completely? Like, there's no chance? I think that's silly. And offensively, I will say, if there's one area of optimism, and it's crazy to use this area as your example of optimism, but I think that you can almost do very little on the offensive line. There's a little bit of hope in that strategy, but I think we've seen some indications that Latham, Skoronski, what about Cushenberry another year after the Achilles? Mandor, you know, keep it locked down a little bit. But it, like, you actually might be okay there. And then I think it's kind of what you have to do with all the other needs, is you have to say, you know what, let's roll with these guys. New coaching staff, you know, here you go. What can you do with it? And that's actually, I think, one of the reasons for optimism, at least relative to other spots on the team.
Well, again, yeah, like, you're not going to find, first off, you know, 10 new starters on the defensive side of the ball.
You don't need 10 new starters. No, Cedric Gray can play.
Yeah.
I think he can play in this league. Amani Hooker's still a starting level safety in this league. Jeff Simmons is a great player in this league.
Yeah, well, there's three right there. So, yeah. You're not finding.
And Sweat's starting. I mean, like, you know, it's Sweat. It just,
I'm interested to see what happens with him.
Well, I guess that's true. I guess you never know. But I'm giving him, you know, one more offseason to try to really figure it out. Because obviously he's struggling with what with that aspect. You can't be as big as he is and expect to make enough plays.
Yeah. I'm interested to see if he is a part of their plans moving forward.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced that he's going to be part of their plans.
You could be
forward.
Right.
But we'll see. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode coming up next. We'll have Corey Curtis at 8 o'clock. All that ahead, Robbie and Rexrode, 1025 the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
You can't leave the court without getting in the tunnel. And we will not stop saying berserker, by the way.
Berserker. We would like to not any sucker berserker.
You know, don't put that idea in my head, Cam.
A better idea.
I don't know your wife, so I will not even delve into her taste in men.
She does not disrobe anywhere near me.
He's bound and neck. A husky is on his way.
And we'll run from the law while we do it.
Fascinating. Paul's reading habits, too. Are these on the toilet, or what are we doing here?
Farting A, man.
You freaking idiot.
White Sox. White Sox. Go,
it is time for the Rex Rant, brought to you by Functional Medicine of Tennessee. Heal from the inside out. Check them out at functionalmedicineoftennessee.net. Joe, the floor is yours.
Oh, where do you go from there? I really think that we should, once a week at least, just make the rant just – I mean, I know that we're asking a lot of you
extended
there,
mashup?
Yeah, to just do – can you do like 12 straight minutes of mashup? I mean – we've said, I should say we, you don't say many dumb things. Here and there, but I've said enough just ridiculous crap that you probably could pull it off. Speaking of dumb things and ridiculous crap, I'd like to put you, Robbie, I want you to pretend that you right now are an LSU prospective portal transfer.
Okay.
/ that player's parents, agent, whatever, the camp, okay? You're that player's camp, okay? You are looking at LSU, which, of course, lots of people would look at LSU. Tremendous place. Arguably the best stadium atmosphere on a Saturday night in college football. Fantastic tradition, championships, all kinds of NFL players that come from there. Like It's one of the great places in college football. And Lane Kiffin is there too. And you're probably, whatever you've thought about Lane, I bet you you're hanging out with Lane. I bet you he's freaking hilarious. And he's selling you on all the things. And he's telling you, I mean, I worked with Nick Saban and I've been all over the country. I've worked with great coaches and I've put this player and that player in the NFL, all this stuff. So you're looking at all this and you're liking it a lot. And of course, you know, there's negotiation, there's money, all that too. And then the position coach for your position has a little bit of a conflict.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, well, whoever it is, there's six guys right now for LSU. You know, unfortunately, can't be here today. He's flying back and forth. We'll get him on Zoom, you know, and, you know, I hope you understand. Or, yes, he's here. He's done it, Ole Miss. He is here totally for you. Sure, Ole Miss might win a national championship, and they've worked for years with these kids, and it's everybody's dream, and it's one of the greatest stories in all of sports right now. But who gives a crap about that? He is right here. Look at him. He's tied to the chair, but you can talk to him in person. Isn't this great? Don't you really want to come here and play for me now? You tell me what you feel better about.
Well, am I a portal player or am I a recruit?
Well, right now is portal. This time period is they're recruiting the portal. You know what I mean?
But yeah, I probably don't care. Probably don't.
You don't care either way?
No, probably not. Because it's just I'm total mercenary 1 year. And also, like, the interesting part is because a lot of this, they're still trying to find a quarterback at LSU right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. They tried to get
they
Brandon
lost
Sorsby.
Lost out on Sorsby.
Lost out on him.
It is rumored that I think Levitt is coming in for a visit now. So, like, look, on the one hand, I think you at least got to think about it if you're one of these portal guys right up. All right, look at these guys. Like, they just had a national championship contender, which I think you can call Ole Miss now, that they've made it to the Final Four.
Yeah.
A national championship contender that they bailed on. The reporting this weekend basically is like, well, they didn't really expect Ole Miss to go as far as they did. Right. And now that they have,
of course,
it's like, well, let's get all the coaches back in there. So, yeah, you don't love that. I think it is different for me if I'm a portal guy rather than a recruit.
Yeah.
Because portal, it's like, it's 1 year here. I don't care if they're here long term, if they have any loyalty, whatever.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I agree that probably the high school recruit who is thinking long term looks at it a little differently. The bottom line is, if I'm anyone on that side looking at this, I'm thinking to myself, so this guy who, sure, there's money now and people change teams all the time, but there's still like, I'm sending my kid to be with
be
you.
Around you.
You give a crap about yeah. kids?
Yeah.
Like Lane Kiffin, if those assistants, and right now we know that Charlie Weiss Jr., the offensive coordinator, will be part of it Thursday
yeah.
when Ole Miss plays in the semifinal against Miami. And the running backs coach has told Chris Lowe he's also going to be part of it. If all of them, all six of them, are not on the sideline Thursday, to me, if I'm someone on that side of things, I have serious reservations about Lane Kiffin. That level of petty, that level of, again, not giving a crap about all these players that you brought to the brink of making a run, you're just screaming it to the world that you don't give a crap, that you give a crap only about yourself. That's what you're saying. I would have a real problem. And I feel like if they're not there, it's a great indication that Lane Kiffin just doesn't get it. And I understand, like, we've been ripping Lane Kiffin. Everybody rips Lane Kiffin. It's too easy to do. But this seems like such a gimme to me. This is such a gimme. You think that you're going to lose a recruit because, oh, I wanted to meet him in person. I can't do the Zoom thing.
Yeah.
Again, everybody knows, like, this is a huge story. They're going for a national championship. There's going to be grace and understanding if the assistants are doing double duty and flying back and forth.
Well, and also, like, this is how this works. Like, for instance, you know, Tennessee, when they lost Nico, they went and kicked the tires on all these different quarterbacks. They didn't meet these quarterbacks in person. It was behind the scenes negotiating, and I'm sure they maybe hopped on a Zoom with a couple of them.
Right.
Like, Aguilar has talked about, like, he basically hopped on a Zoom with Tennessee yeah. at one point. It was like, yeah, I'll go there. Cool.
And one of the few good things that came out of COVID is that people can do that now.
Yeah.
So, like, this would only be to punish his former employer. And by the way, how hilarious is it to think of, what if they let Lane do it? What if they let Lane coach the team?
Like, yeah, that'd be going well.
Yeah. No, that'd be they probably wouldn't be playing right now. It's just, it's really, to me, mind-boggling. And again, I'm whole, you know, let's wait and see. You know, let's wait and see what happens. But clearly, there's been some reporting around, like, you know, like some of these guys are upset. If you're one of these coaches, I understand going with Lane, and you made your choice. So you made your choice. You went with Lane Kiffin to LSU, and I think that's probably a smart choice. But are you kidding me? If you're one of them, I seriously can't go back and be part of a national championship run. I can't be with these kids that we all claim that we give a crap about. Really? I mean, to me, you are engendering serious resentment on your own staff if you do this and you keep anyone back.
Well, it goes back to, you know, all that smoke he was blowing right after he took the job of, yeah, I hope they go and win a national championship.
Yeah.
It's like he really didn't hope that they went and win a national championship. It's
no.
Like he hoped that they were out in the first round, so he got his staff all back together. And now that they're not and that they've made it to the semifinal, he's panicking a little bit. Like, oh, you know, I really need you guys to come here and come work for me. I'm not really worried about Ole Miss anymore.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and yeah, like I've seen some Homer-ish crap down there about Lane needs to stop giving charity to Ole Miss. It's time to bring these guys. They work for him. Come on, man. You can't. Like, if you're an LSU fan, obviously the LSU fan is going to defend Lane all the way until he doesn't live up to what he's supposed to be, and then you hate him and fire him. But right now, even if you want to defend everything, like, you have to look at it and say, Lane, like, come on, man, it's fine. Like, this is not going to make or break these recruits. It's not. It's not going to make or break it. As long as these guys are available, and they will be, you can go do practice, do a few hours, do your prep, do your game stuff. You're gonna get 3-4 hours of sleep, but you can do it.
Yeah.
It's one of the most fascinating things in the next few days is how this is gonna shake out and whether he gets it or not. And there's no way he's rooting for them. There's no way in hell. Because, yeah, he's getting these bonuses, but already, I ask LSU fans, well, Ole Miss is in the semis. When's Lane getting there? When's Lane getting to the semis? Better be pretty fast, yeah, right? Better be pretty fast. And they got a chance to beat Miami, too. I mean, that's a fascinating game. Ole Miss, Indiana would be like, that would be, I don't know who, like, America would be rooting for. Probably Ole Miss.
Yeah,
people are almost sick of Indiana, but what a story it would be if we got Ole Miss Indiana.
Yeah, you know, people are on the text line right now are talking about, like, you know, I don't think he's that upset with them winning. He gets the bonus when they go. Isn't it like a $500,000 bonus for every win that they get?
No, not for every. It's gotten up to 500,000.
Okay.
I think it's 750 if they win this next one.
Okay.
It goes up to that.
I understand that that's a lot of money. I do.
Yeah, he makes $13 million a year.
He just
signed
like a $93 million contract. Yeah. I don't think he's that worried about
that. No. I promise you, he is hoping against hope they don't win. And he was hoping against hope they lost to Georgia.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Corey Curtis will be with us coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.